I'm Chris from All Things Good and Nerdy, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Man, my Game Boy keep waking me up. We be dropping the beats with some music creation software, lots of gaming and movie talk, and much more. So grab your spoons, because soup is served.
Hey, welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast that wishes Roseanne's rendition of that Star Spangled Banner was available on iTunes. I'd be buying it. I'd be downloading it right now if it was available.
Would you, though?
It's no longer the worst version, though.
I know. Yeah, Fergie's was pretty horrendous, I do have to say.
It was no happy birthday, Mr. President, but it was close.
Yeah, yeah,
what
it really
are we talking
was.
About? That's like so 2000 and late.
I'm talking about this is what the 1980s, early 90s for Roseanne.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting really old there. But before we get any...
the 90s? Yeah. I'm old.
I am pretty old. But let me just introduce us here real fast. My name's Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
Yo.
Doing good.
Well, we do have a special guest today, so let's go ahead and get him introduced here.
This is Crackers the Clown, begging everyone to give a warm welcome to our guest this evening, Brother Tom.
Sup?
Wow. That was our new introduction. It's by Crackers the Clown.
I hope you didn't pay for that one.
Let's give Crackers...
Oh, I thought that was our corning from you in the third grade.
it was before my balls dropped, if you know what I'm saying.
No. Oh, family friendly.
We're there already.
Maybe one of them did at that point.
And we're already at the balls section of the show.
So everybody, Brother Tom is literally my brother. It's my brother Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Oh, not a whole heck of a much.
Great. Great guest.
Now, Tom is actually in the great guest. He's actually in the same state as these two over here.
Yeah, we're all stupid.
State of confusion.
The amazing Minnesota.
Oh, my gosh.
It's snowing right now. Great.
It snows over there? Here and there, right?
Well, we've got lucky. We haven't got the snow. It's all in the south right now.
That's right.
You don't have any snow over there in Bemidji?
No. We had a little bit, shut up.
You could tell they're brothers, guys.
Shut up.
Shut your mouth hole.
I'm looking forward to this.
We got an inch for a couple hours.
Jason and I were just on separate vacations. It just so happened that they were at the same time.
Yeah.
Jason went north. I went south. I don't know why you went north.
Yeah, I'm kind of an idiot,
but,
I guess.
Where did you go and what'd you do and what was cool?
We went to Canada. I went to go see, one of the Gunna Geekers. I drove everywhere trying to find John Drew's house, and I couldn't find it. he said he lives in Canada, so I just started driving. I thought it was like, Deer River or something.
It is pretty small country,
I
would have thought you would have just stumbled upon it.
Yeah, I had my head out the window. I'm honking. I'm going, Steven, where are you, Steven?
Exactly. So you went up to Niagara Falls, right?
Yeah, we went to Niagara Falls, Ontario, because everybody says the Canadian side is much better than the American side. And I had never been there before, so I actually wanted to see the best. I mean, why would I go and see the mediocre?
Right.
I think the mediocre is where Jim and Pam got married.
Okay, I don't remember where they got. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about The Office.
Yeah.
But where did they get married? I never saw those episodes.
On the falls by a captain.
Tennille?
Oh, man.
It wasn't Captain Tennille. It was Captain and Tennille.
it was Captain Joseph Tennille.
Oh, man. So the falls were good. I was there once before. This is probably, 10 years ago now, I suppose. And I always said it was really cool to see them, but I have no desire to go back there. It's just too much of a tourist area. Once I've seen it once, I was happy with it, and that was good for me. But you guys did a lot more stuff than I got to, because when I was there, I was literally there for like an afternoon from maybe 11 until, you know, 4 in the afternoon. So.
Yeah, we spent 3 full days and a partial another day there, so we got to see a lot of stuff. I mean, not only did we see the falls, but we also went to the Butterfly Conservatory and the Bird Kingdom. I have 3 daughters, so yes, I got to do that fun stuff. Nice. Now, I got to tell you a little story about the Bird Kingdom here. It's actually pretty awesome. It's like a huge...
Bird Kingdom?
Well, yes, but I mean, it's... They fly free. You walk amongst them flying free, which is pretty dang sweet. All varieties of birds, and they can fly right in front of you, etc. I'm going to preface this, not even all week. It's probably like for the month before we came. My youngest, she was so excited because she loves birds, right? And we had looked up the Bird Kingdom online here, and she was seeing different pictures of it, and there's this one section where the birds actually land all over you, and I found out why, because when we got there, you go into this caged area, and they give you these little nectar cups that you hold in your hand, and as soon as they give you one, these birds have been doing this for so long, they just fly right on top of you and land. It was funny, Annie had like 2-3 on her head, a whole bunch on her shoulders. I had probably like 8 of them up and down my arms, right? Well, my little one that was so excited about this, because she talked about birds landing on her head. She wanted that all to happen. As soon as the birds started flying and landing on her, she was not having fun at all. She freaked out.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. So my wife had to take her off to the side while we finished up having the birds all over us. And Janie, you know, she's 10 now, so, you know, this is nothing to her. She's, you know, oh, it's so cute. They're all over me and stuff. Annie, who was having fun at the beginning, all of a sudden, she looked up at me and she goes, "Daddy, I'm done now." because they, you know, the birds just walking all over you. They kept landing on her head and everything.
Did you wear any of those disposable rain jackets?
No, we did not, but we did not get pooped on, so that's good.
Lucky.
Yeah, I know.
Cool.
I kept teasing the kids that they were going to get pooped on, you know, when we went in here, but no, didn't happen. But yeah, we went in March because, well, we went for spring break, and because it's not prime season, we got some really great deals. We got to stay at a Hilton Embassy Suites, and I've never stayed in a place as nice as this. This is a 4-star, and usually I'm at the about 0.2 stars, but this was a 4-star. I mean, it was decked out. I mean, it was nice and everything, and we got to see all kinds of great stuff. They had a Sky Wheel, which is a huge Ferris wheel. I don't know if it's as big as the one that you see over like in San Francisco or anything.
Adam,
probably not.
Did it keep Adam, that turning? Sounds a lot like I wonder if that
Wonder
Sky
wheel
just kept turning.
That's what I just said. I'm like, did it keep on turning?
The big wheel? Yeah.
Wheel in the sky keep on turning.
Oh, I thought you were doing like, big wheels keep on turning.
Well, that's not turning, that's twining.
Sky wheel keeps on twining.
Hey, these wheels keep on twining. It's a transformer. It never gets old.
No. Yeah, it doesn't. It's awesome.
Oh.
Here's for our listeners here. Of course, that was a throwback to one of our episodes, and we had so much fun, you know, doing that voice and doing all kinds of crazy stuff with it. But what I want to tell everybody here is this is my brother Tom on the show today, right? This is episode 68.
Yep.
And we're actually at probably about 70 because of our specials and stuff that aren't tallied into this, like our super reviews. But anyway, my brother has not listened to one episode, and he's on the show.
I've listened to parts of a lot of episodes.
By accident.
He gets so bored.
Well, you guys start with your numbers and stuff and your gigs and...
That's those two. I'm the village idiot when it comes to that stuff. So.
Well, yeah, but you're always...
Dave's a moron.
You're talking about camera stuff, and I don't know that either.
Equally boring to me. So.
Well, last week I got named the Simpsons comic book guy, whatever his name was.
I can't remember what it was.
Jeffrey something, I don't know.
Jeffrey Sanborn?
See, I had a kind of a cool experience last week, because we went down to Florida, and I went to the Kennedy Space Center.
Ooh, nice.
And I got to do the tour of the, you don't get to go like on the launch pad or anything, but they did a bus tour right next to that SpaceX launch pad where they launched that Falcon Heavy.
Yeah.
And after getting pumped up from seeing the videos and us talking about that, it was so awesome just to be down there and see that stuff. It was Kennedy Space Center is amazing.
Did you see Spaceman?
Oh yeah, of course.
Did you get his autograph?
Yep. No. No, it was interesting though, because they said that SpaceX has a 20-year lease on that launch site, or on that site there, mm-hmm. as far as they're building stuff there and everything right on site. It was phenomenal.
Wow. Well, the big news this week was actually NASA got funded to build a second launch platform.
That's and interesting, because I was watching them. They were building that when we were down there. It looks like it's halfway done already. It's
okay.
Huge.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think it's all because of this influx of private money coming into the NASA program, because I believe SpaceX has to pay NASA or the government or something, I'm assuming, to use this launch site.
Well, the Falcon Heavy, wasn't that the Tesla guy that did that one?
Yes, yep. Yes, yep. Yes.
He's working with NASA?
Well, they're leasing that space there. So here's something else interesting. There's another company down there called Blue Origin, mm-hmm. which was making their own rockets.
They're with Amazon, right?
Yeah, Jeff Bezos owns that one.
Yeah.
So the bus driver or the tour guide was joking that, you know, maybe eventually you could, because what they want to do is Blue Origin wants to privatize space travel, like tourism, space tourism stuff.
Right.
And he said you could probably, you'll be able to end up buying your tickets on Amazon.
I want one free with Amazon Prime.
Exactly. But it was really cool. Highly recommended. It was actually, there's some pretty funny stuff. The space shuttle tour was amazing to see the real space shuttle, Atlantis. And they mentioned that at 400 feet, you'd be incinerated by the blast of the rocket taking off.
Oof.
At 800 feet, the sound wave would still kill you.
Jeez.
Oh, nice.
And he said at 1,600 feet, you'd get eaten by the alligators and snakes. So,
what?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Because they're surrounded by that stuff, all the swamp area and everything. So
yeah.
Scientist remote, humor.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. So, you know, there's somebody else that had another adventure, right, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
You had some good times while we were gone, right? Tell us about your times.
He had more fun than we did. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so, you know, last week you guys are getting ready to go on vacation. I drive to work in the morning. My car dies. Okay, this is a bunch of crap. So, get it towed.
I got a sound effect for that.
Yeah, I get it towed. And they tell me the fuel pump goes bad. Okay, great. Change that out. There's a few $100 down the drain. All right, that's done. Well, I picked my car up that afternoon, and I smelled a little gas in the car, but I didn't think much of it. I figured,
for lunch. So
no,
he just...
not that kind, like gasoline. And I figured that, well, they must have dripped on it, because you can get at the fuel pump in my car through the trunk, basically. You fold on the back seats, it's right there, but... So I thought, oh, it must have just got spilled on something. It'll evaporate and go away. This was on, I think, Thursday. Friday during the day, I noticed it still was smelling like gas on and off, like fairly strong, not like stale, but like fresh. And I thought, well, that's weird, but yeah, it just probably got to evaporate. I haven't been driving too much. And Saturday morning, I go out, and I'm out taking pictures, and I filled up my tank, and I started noticing that every time I'd hit a bump or I'd go around a corner, any time that tank would move, you know, or your car would move so that gas would slosh around in there, I was smelling gas real strong. So I'm like, what the heck? Go out to my parents, and I pull up on my dad's slab on his, you know, outside of his garage there, and it's dripping gas under my car.
Nice.
So I'm like, all right, I got to get this to the shop. I hope I don't explode in a crazy fireball on the way there. Call the shop up that fixed it. We get in there. Turns out a gasket or something went bad, and I ended up, their mechanic was gone, so I had to help this one other guy there, older gentleman, who physically couldn't do the labor, so he basically walked me through changing and fixing everything we had to do. On the plus side, I now know how to fix a fuel pump in my car. And so then, while you guys are on vacation, I go to the dentist. Lots of fun, I told you. I'm having so much fun this week. And I'm laying there, and you know they got that little water gun, that water pick thing?
Okay.
You know, that when they're doing a cleaning, they spray water in there.
Yeah.
And I'm at the dentist. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I got to get from my appointment right to work. And they're about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way done with the appointment. And all of a sudden, the lady's squirting water there, doing her thing. And the end of that little water gun shoots off. And she catches it just in time so it doesn't
in her
slam.
Teeth.
No, it, almost in my teeth. The little metal tip almost shot off at high pressure right into my teeth.
Just the tip?
She caught it in time, but while she was catching that, avoiding it from smacking me in the teeth, her finger still on the trigger. She is spraying water all over. It just doused me, my face, all over down my sweatshirt, running down my neck, the front of my shirt, and I had to go to work right after.
Oh, so,
I walk into work. I'm just soaking wet. I'm like, what? This is a morning. You know, and my boss is like, what happened to
you? I hate Mondays.
Yeah, only it was Friday. It wasn't a good Friday.
I really wish I worked there and had access to the security tape, because I would take that tape, I would speed it up like 3x, and I'd play.
Okay, for you that don't know, that's Benny Hill.
It was kind of Benny Hill.
It was nowhere near Benny Hill, but that's what it was supposed to be.
It was kind of like Kenny Hill. I got it, Tom.
But
you know what?
It was like Captain Tennille.
Yeah.
Shot it.
So yeah, it was a fantastic Friday. That's all I have to say about it. You guys thought you had good vacations. I had a fantastic Friday.
Well, that was only three fantastic things. What about a fourth?
Well,
yeah,
we got Tom on the show today.
Yeah, there's four of us, and you know what's interesting? Mm-hmm. A franchise that so far has been a complete bleh, in my opinion, the Fantastic Four is set to return in August. So we talked about them last week in our Geek Off, and after being absent as a team for quite a while due in large parts to movie rights, the Fantastic Four are set to reunite, but not on the big screen.
Yeah, it's all comic books here. Now,
so
graphic novels, guys. Yeah.
Well, basically what happened is...
I like Aquaman.
Aquaman, yeah, he's got a movie coming too very soon with Fantastic
like
Four. Though
I don't I don't really like Aquaman. I just thought that would sound real dorky.
Well, basically what had happened with the movie rights, the, you know, how we've talked about before, how Fox owns some properties, Sony owns other properties, and now of course Disney and Marvel own the bulk of everything. Fantastic Four was owned by one of the other studios. And Marvel, because they couldn't get their hands on Fantastic Four to make their own movies and bring them into the Marvel Universe, they basically stopped making Fantastic Four comics as well. They said, we're done then, fine. You won't let us have the movie back, movie rights back? We're just not making any comics, essentially. They split up the team, sent them all in their own ways. Well, now, with this deal with Fox coming into play, and it looks like, you know, as long as that goes through, Marvel has the rights to the Fantastic Four again. Now they've started to bring the team back together finally. So kind of some exciting news for fans of the Fantastic Four, even though those movies just really haven't materialized into nothing great. But now that we're going to hit the Infinity War and all of that, we might be seeing, you know, the not relaunch, but the next chapter in the saga, especially if all those other characters get to play in the same sandbox. So it could be kind of fun. So
yeah, and Infinity War is really going to set the bar super high. I mean, the Avengers have already set the bar high because of the first few, but this one really is gonna.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think, Tom? What do you think about the Infinity War coming up? Are you excited?
I haven't heard of it, and I don't think I've seen any of the movies you're talking about.
Perfect.
Greatest guest ever.
Well, that's why I was being quiet. I haven't heard any of it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about games then.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
Brother
games.
Tom knows games.
No, not really. I know Ark.
Let's talk Ark now.
Okay. We could just do an Ark show.
Yeah.
Game Informa. They have a top 300.
Mickey.
What about a pot pie?
I love them.
Chicken pot pie. All the ingredients, man. Game Informer's top 300 games of all time.
Yeah.
They actually have a... is this our Google document?
Yeah, Jason typed it up one at a time.
Amazing.
It was in the latest episode of Game Informer.
Episode or issue?
Issue, I should say. Yeah, issue. I corrected myself.
We've got a big spreadsheet of the top 300 games of all time.
Yes. Yeah. And I wanted to see, you know, if we all agree on that or not. You know, so we're going to go through all 300, so let's start at
All right. So first up, number 300.
Now, did you guys have a chance to actually look at this list prior to the show?
No.
I did. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of titles on here that I've never played, but I'm seeing some that I remember fondly from years past. One that jumps out, it's way down at the bottom, but Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay. That's when those movies were huge on the original Xbox.
Good. I like that game.
Yeah, it was fun. Xbox, they did some cool things with that night vision mode they had. And
Should we talk about top 20?
Yeah, I mean, scrolling through it,
Although I want to include number 21 because they've got number 21 as Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the best first-person shooter games there ever was.
Yeah.
It's great. And look what year that came out in.
Ought 4.
Same exactly. Year as Riddick.
14 years ago, and they still haven't come out with Half-Life 3.
Oh, they're
even though
they're
that was
it.
A major seller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very strange.
So, Jason, number 20, this is a game that you have said might be your all-time favorite at one point. Super Metroid.
It is. And Brother Tom, would you not agree?
I don't have the list.
Yes, you do. I sent it to you.
Tom, do you have the show notes up right now?
Nope.
Oh.
Okay, let's just tell them what it is.
The link is there. So number 20, Super Metroid for the Super Nintendo back in 94.
94.
I didn't like Super Metroid.
You didn't?
Wait, no, I did like Super Metroid.
Yes, you did. That's the one where the Metroid saves her. He transfers all his power. The Metroid transfers the power to Samus, and then Mother Brain kills
her. Yeah, that one was awesome.
Yeah,
I think it was a 3D one that I didn't like. I think that was the 60.
Yeah, I didn't like any of the...
It was the GameCube version. Super Metrosexual.
Like, oh, no.
So, yeah, that was a good one. Number 19 is Mass Effect 2.
Now,
I have not
it.
Played any of the Mass Effect games.
I played about 10 minutes of that one, and then I uninstalled it.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting into it.
If I remember right, a space first-person shooter kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Counter-Strike, number 18, back from 1999. There's still people playing Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike, what is that? Is that a shooter, or is that the strategy?
It's a first-person shooter, squad-based type multiplayer. You know, let's kill everybody in squads, et cetera, type game.
Sure.
Now, they're not actually playing the Counter-Strike as it originally was released with the, I believe it was the Half-Life 1 engine, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Because this was in 1999. Then they re-released it with the Source engine, which I believe Half-Life 2 was created with.
Well, that's the one I was thinking of, Counter-Strike Source.
Yeah, so that really increased it. But this is the original. With a Half-Life 1 engine.
Nice.
Diablo 2 is number 17 from the year
2000. I've never played any of the Diablo series.
I actually remember Jason playing. I don't know if it was Diablo or Diablo 2, but
I think it was the Diablo 1, actually. And what they are is they're basically just dungeon crawlers, loot machines. That's basically
like a Neverwinter Nights type of...
Yeah, but I think Neverwinter Nights had more of a story.
Yeah, that was based on a D&D series, The Forgotten Realms, but same type of a
series.
Same type of top down thing.
Invisibility.
I know a lot of people right now are playing Diablo 3, so but Diablo 2, okay. So far, from the sounds of it, we're thinking Super Metroid should probably be ranked higher than what else is on here. Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger, you know, surprisingly, I played a lot of Super Nintendo RPGs, and I never played this one back when I actually owned it back in the day. I did play it in emulation later on, but, I mean, it was a huge hit. I mean, they did just re-release this as a... they made a sequel. I believe it's for the new consoles, but with sort of the retro graphics.
It's also on the SNES Classic, I believe.
Okay. But, I mean, the new one... the sequel to it, it's not... No, I'm thinking of Secret of Mana. I am very sorry.
Yep, Secret of Mana.
Secret of Mana just came out with a sequel.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger, I believe, was on the mini SNES Classic. I could be wrong on that, but... So kind of a dud there. It's 16. So 15, we've got BioShock. Now, Jason, you've sang the praises of this game, and I've never played it myself.
This game was freaking...
I've never seen it either.
This was freaking amazing. I mean,
really?
the best thing about this was Rapture, which is the environment, the underwater city that you are traversing through. It's just amazing, and it's a timepiece. I'm trying to think of when the radio and stuff talks like, that kind of voice, you know, like a 1920s, 1930s radio sound, tubes and everything. It's really cool. You got to give it a try. If you can ever play this for free sometime, give it a try. I wouldn't say go out and buy it, but I mean, even if you wanted to buy it, it's probably like $20 now. For
well, you can, I believe looking on Steam, at least for the PC, you can find BioShock and a lot of times in some bundles for BioShock and some of the sequels. So
yeah, I mean, I've played all three of them. Mm-hmm. I've only completed BioShock, the original. I did have to complete that because the story was so great.
Yeah.
But I didn't complete any of the other ones. But yeah, give it a try. It's a great game.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
So what's up next?
Adam's Super, game.
Super Street Fighter II Turbo from the arcade, 1994. Classic.
Yep. There's Adam not much to say about other game than to it's death.
Revolutionary. I did. Doom from 1993 is our number 13 pick.
Yeah, that was a
that
great game.
That was a groundbreaking game there, too.
Yeah, so do you put Doom Doom above Half-Life 2? If you were making this list,
I would not.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, okay, here's how you figure this out. You're trapped on an island, and on that island, you can have one of these two games, Doom or Half-Life 2. Which one would you choose?
Lifeboat.
That's not a choice.
Oh, okay.
You would choose Half-Life 2 not only for the better visuals and sound, but also the deeper, more intricate story.
Oh, the story was great.
So, Doom, there's especially in the 93 version, there's no story.
This desert island has electricity?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Let's talk about this desert island. Let's say it was really flat and huge, and there was a fire coming from one.
Well, the island is actually the island is actually the Lost Island.
Oh.
I like Adam's version. He's calling back to the old riddle.
Yep.
It's yep, a cliff-based island and a fire coming, so he's got a sheet. He's all set.
Now, number 12, Minecraft. Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Minecraft, number 12. That belongs in the top 12. That game has become just ever since it came out, just phenomenon.
I mean, but that game is so much greater than 11, so I don't even know why it's behind Ms. Pac-Man, really.
Well, here's my thought. Number 11, Ms. Pac-Man. Why is Ms. Pac-Man at number 11 and the actual Pac-Man is nowhere near it to be found?
Women's lib, you know, equality, all that kind of stuff.
What about Ms. Pac-Man made it better than the original Pac-Man? I guess I don't remember. I always played Pac-Man
boobs.
In the arcades. She is a circle. A circle with a bow on top. That's the only difference.
Well, if you look really closely, you could see two bumps.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, man. I'm not sure that's accurate.
Fake news.
All right, so now we're to the top 10. Now, this is... I'm going to have one observation after we go through this that I'm going to say about it. But as we're going through this, listeners, see if you can kind of pick out what I might have come up with as an observation. But let's go ahead with number 10. Why don't you read number 10, Tom, since you're not doing much over there?
Well, I don't have the list.
So... You asked him that just to get him to say it again.
Jason, send him the link.
Number 10 is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Yes.
2015. I have not played that one.
Very good. I haven't played it a ton, but the little bit I have it, I picked it up on a Steam sale for like $20. Yeah, something like that, $25, and it was fantastic. It's nice. Still, I mean, I need to dedicate some more time to it, but very, very fun game.
All right, and Tom, in the cast chat is a link, so go ahead and go into cast and click on it.
I already did.
All right, cool.
Number 9, The Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim. Skyrim is fantastic.
Yeah.
It is, but it's not my favorite out of all the Elder Scrolls, and that would be the original. No, I'm just kidding. No, I actually liked Oblivion a lot. I had played a lot of Oblivion, and I don't know, I didn't get into Skyrim. Here's as far as I got into Skyrim, and you guys are going to laugh who have played this a lot. I escaped the dragon.
That's the intro, yeah. That's
exactly.
That's all the further I've gotten.
You essentially made
it.
The cutscene where they teach you how to run.
Yes.
Yep. That's about where I've got to as well, because then I just lost time and then forgot to come back to it. But
Adam,
incredible world.
You've completed the game, have you not?
Twice.
Nice.
Once on the PS3, and then I bought it for the PC and did the whole thing again after my PlayStation died.
Okay.
Wow.
And see, I played.
Must be nice not having kids.
Oh, I do. I just neglect them.
Yeah. See, the Elder Scrolls game I played the most was Morrowind on the PC.
Yeah.
And well, I had it on the Xbox.
You played it on the
well.
Xbox original, yeah.
Yep, Xbox original. And then I got it for my, I had a laptop at the time, that gaming laptop. And I bought it for that as well because I was, when I was working at the movie theater, I'd have downtime between shows and stuff. And so I'd play that once my work was done and play for, you know, half hour here, 40 minutes there. So I definitely put in a lot of time into Morrowind. But
yeah. All right, Tom, why don't you go ahead and tell us what number eight is?
Well, I was looking over the list and I didn't see E.T. anywhere.
Greatest game of all time.
Number Believe eight, me. Red Dead Redemption.
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that game, Tom?
Nope.
So that's an old West.
I have never
open
even heard
world.
Of it.
This is by Rockstar, the same people that do Grand Theft Auto, and basically it is Grand Theft Auto in the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
It has a really good storyline. I've played a little bit of it, not a whole same lot, here. And there is a sequel in the works, Red Dead Redemption 2. That's a great name. And and that's going to be out... That's going to be out for the current gen, so of course they're going to utilize that graphic power of those modern systems. But yeah, the game was a lot of fun. Basically, you're just this... I'm trying to remember. It's been a while. Are you... You're a thief in the Wild West, I believe. You're like a... You're a bad guy, but not like a real bad guy. Adam, explain it a little bit. It's been a long time since I played it.
Yeah, same here.
Wow.
So, doing great.
All right. Well, we should have just stuck with what Tom said about it. All right. Number seven.
We're just like, we don't know what the hell we're talking
it's
about.
It's a great game. It's highly acclaimed.
You're a former outlaw. That's as far as I remember.
Okay. So. Number seven is Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Meh.
And, oh, no, Dave, no. What's meh. Great about this was we I finally agree. Moved from World War II up into the modern age. Now, I never played Modern Warfare. But I am absolutely deeply in love with Modern Warfare 2. I loved that game so much. The missions, the graphics, the story was just awesome. I loved it.
The only shooter like that that I put a lot of time into, as far as a military shooter, was the original Medal of Honor, which I believe was World War One or Two. I don't remember which one. But back when I had my back surgery, that was years ago now. But I had gotten that and ended up beating the game while I was recovering from back surgery and playing a bunch of other stuff too. But yeah. I never got into the Call of Duty series that much. I played Black Ops a bit and just wasn't my thing.
I think I tried them. I'm not sure, but my game was Battlefield 1942.
That was a good game. Yep.
Number six, Final Fantasy VI. Although it's in the U.S., it was Final Fantasy III. On the Super Nintendo, 1994.
Yep, the Final Fantasy series, a great, great series of JRPGs. Yeah.
They keep making them. They're definitely not final.
Yeah. What are they on, 15, I think,
just called
right
it Fantasy.
Oh, no, they're at least 19.
Well,
they're
I've got one on my phone that's Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition. That's the newest one, I think.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what the latest.
But this is a stripped down. The one I have on my phone is a stripped down version of the current big push from the PC and consoles, I think. But I know there's a number of different iterations also, so it could be higher numbers, and they might have went back in their numbering some.
I'm looking here. It looks like 15 did come out in 2016, so that's probably the latest one.
Yeah. Now, would you put Final Fantasy III above Final Fantasy VII?
I would, because I really did not like Final Fantasy VII. I know that's heresy for a lot of people, because that was the game that they fell in love with mm-hmm. on the PlayStation 1, and that was a PlayStation 1 seller. I just didn't get into it. I don't know.
It was long, and it was tons of cutscenes while you in between a little bit of action, just tons of cutscenes. Even the battles.
That's probably why I didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, the battles, I remember, just to do a single move, you couldn't skip the animations, and you'd wait for these big, amazing, animations and cutscene things to happen during your battles, which the first time or two you saw them, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, I've seen it 47,000 times. Let me just get through this battle. And it got long. But
here's Dave. He's almost dead, and he could summon that dragon and wipe out everything and continue in the game. He's like, I don't want to sit through 5 minutes of this stinking dragon animation.
Yeah.
Yep. World of Warcraft number 5.
What is that? I've never actually heard of that game.
It's
is
an
that
RPG.
Oh, okay. Is that for like the PlayStation or something?
It's for the Nintendo.
8-bit?
8-bit, yep.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I think pretty self-explanatory there.
I think I've seen that game once on South Park.
Oh, that was an awesome episode, by
great
the way.
Great episode, yeah. Grand Theft Auto 5, number 4.
Great game.
It's another for me. I'm very meh.
Really, dude? That game, there is so much you can do. It is just... It's so encompassing. I mean, for one, the graphics are fantastic. Yeah. They are out of this world. Awesome. The city just seems so alive. And there's just so much you can do in the game. That's what I love about it. And also, Stephen Ogg is in it. So anything Stephen Ogg is in, you got to love.
Wasn't that the one with Michael Rapaport in it, too?
Is he in it?
I can't remember.
Not 100% sure.
Stepping back in time. Tetris is our number 3 for the PC, 1984.
Yeah, I didn't even realize this was a PC game. I think of it on the Nintendo.
Yeah, it was huge. When it came out for the original Nintendo Game Boy, it was huge. And that's what helped sell that old, you know, green-screened Nintendo Game Boy.
Yeah, but I mean, I still remember it, though, on the NES.
This was out on the PC when I was in college in 90.
Mm-hmm.
What year did it come out in? 84. So yeah, I don't think I played it though until I got to PCs in 90. I don't think it was available on Apple.
No,
I don't think so.
I just remember playing it on the NES all the time.
Same here. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Still own it.
That's nice. It's a great game. And speaking of the NES, what's number 2?
Super Mario Brothers 3. Totally agree. This is a great game.
Yeah. Yep. I'm thinking about this here. What is the greatest Super Mario game of all time? And a lot of people are going to say 3. That's why it's number 2 here. But I don't think that's better than some of the later iterations. Now, Super Mario 64 was groundbreaking.
I liked Super Mario World for the SNES.
SNES was good. I think the difference you have to make, kind of the distinction, is that when it went from being a straight platformer to being kind of the 3D world with the GameCube and some of the more modern ones, where they got a little more three-dimensional. It wasn't just the straight platformer like Super Mario Brothers 3 or Super Mario World or, of course, you know, 1 or 2. Those, it's just it's still a side-scrolling, even though you might go up and down different things. But, I mean, it still had that platformer core that was what it was built on and what it shined on, whereas some of the more modern ones, I mean, it's almost a little more open world, and I think that's the big distinction for me at least.
The Super Mario 3D World, which is out on the Wii U, and I believe they're porting that over to the Switch, but it's also on the 3DS. That is a fantastic game, and it's not open world. It's still linear. You still are going in a specific path, but it is 3D. You can move amongst the screen in any direction, but you're still the path that you have to go is still linear. You can't, you know, you're in like an alley, basically, is how you have to think about it. You can't go that far right or left, but you can go anywhere on the screen at that point.
To me, the first one was the best because that was the first time we could have an actual video game quality at home.
I spent
the most time on that game, where the other ones I just played for a little while and stopped playing them.
And surprisingly, I don't think, Tom, back when we were kids, I don't think we even owned 3, did we? We had 1 and 2, I know for sure.
No, I think we did own 3 because we have it now, and that's the one my wife liked the best.
Well, I'm sure you two do not have what we originally had back in the 80s and 90s. You probably have purchased that since, correct?
Well,
because if that is it, I'm sure I bought it, so I want it back, is what I'm saying.
That's nice.
It's got to be mine.
All right.
No, you
number
gave
one.
It to us for Christmas, actually.
Number 1,
Leisure Suit Larry. Surprised to see that on the list.
I loved Leisure Suit Larry.
And that one's,
now the original, of course.
That one's
was
totally
awesome.
Wrong too.
Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, 1991.
That was a great game.
So Tom, you don't agree?
No, it should be either 1 or Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
You know what? And did you see how high up on the list Breath of the Wild is?
Ocarina was very good too.
Ocarina's number 39. Breath of the Wild, I got to find it again because it is way down on the list here. It is number 100.
I don't agree with that.
There Which is one? 99 games that are better than that, Tom.
Yeah.
99 games, but Zelda ain't one.
Actually, nice. 101 are Zelda, Shoot. So I guess Zelda is one.
Yeah, I guess they're more than one.
Yeah. See, so
speaking of the Switch.
Yeah.
Hold on. Remember I told our listeners, now take a listen to the top 10 and see if you can figure out what I was going to say about the top 10 here. Now, do you guys notice any pattern to the top 10?
Well, they're almost all classic games.
They're all within the last 100 years.
No.
A big bulk of them are PS3 or console games, and a lot of them are sequels.
No, I'm not going that route, but...
they're all highlighted green in the spreadsheet.
I'm the one that highlighted them green. But no, here, take a look at this. This is the top 300 games of all time. Only one modern game made it to the top 10. And when I say modern, I mean the current generation of systems. Number 10 is a PS4 Xbox One game.
Mm-hmm.
Every game that in the top 10 that beat that is all older games. Well, and some of them are quite a bit older. Like we go all the way back to 84 for Tetris.
Yep.
So Tetris is, of all the modern games that are out right now, none of them are better than these nine, what Game Informer's saying.
All of them are sequels except for Tetris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Tetris is sort of a sequel. There was a game that came out. It was just called Tris. And what it had is...
Here we go.
I have nothing for it, but they added the tet to it, and then we got...
Well, as the Greg Kinn band says, they don't write them like that anymore.
But yeah, that was just an observation I made is, you know, the current generation only has one game in the top 10, and so it barely makes you wonder, made it to the top 10.
Based on that, I mean, as popular as gaming is, it makes you wonder if with, you know, the most recent stuff being primarily PS3 and Xbox 360, of course, PC as well,
Xbox One, 360's last generation.
No, I'm saying with like Skyrim and Red Dead and those being on the PS3 and the 360,
have we
seen the peak of gaming as far as like best games ever? I mean, I'm not talking about people playing games. I'm talking about as far as games like being thought of as the best ever, innovative, something unique, something groundbreaking.
I don't think so necessarily, although, I mean, you look back at the old NES Super Nintendo days where mm-hmm. you have a cartridge and the games were really hard.
Yep.
And you had to put a lot more into it. They don't hold your hand through the whole thing.
Yep.
And then you switch to the new open world kind of games where you can run around and do whatever.
Yeah.
I know one of the challenges, I'm sure, for developers and the artists that are making this stuff is how to bring something fresh and new and different to this stuff.
Well, I think what they're going to do is the open world concept in the back seat of your autonomous car.
Yeah.
And your car goes the way you want it.
I don't know, man. We had another autonomous car crash and kill the driver. So,
Uber, yep.
Yeah, I don't... I'm starting to worry about this, you know. Johnny Cabs. I don't know when they're going to become mainstream if they keep killing their passengers.
So they got to get that foam.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of accidents.
Oh, you didn't know how to use the three seashells?
Damn it. That's what I was going to say. I forgot what I was going to do. So I was in Canada, we just discussed at the top of the show. And I was going to take a picture. I was going to try to find three seashells. And I was going to take a picture in the bathroom of the three seashells on the back of the toilet stall. And I was going to, you know, put a caption on it saying, "This is the one thing I can't get used to in Canada is these three seashells."
Nobody'd believe
little
that.
Little Judge Dredd, or no,
yep.
Demolition Man.
Everyone knows Canadians use tree bark anyway.
Well, let's switch to the next topic as Adam was trying to do.
Let's dock into this next one.
Yeah.
such a good segue. Switch owners that look to third-party options for the expensive docking kit are finding that not only will the Switch no longer charge via USB with the Nyko portable docking kit, but many report their systems are being completely bricked. Oh, snap.
I've got an update on this.
Okay, what is it?
So I put this in here when I first saw it, and I thought, wow, this is crazy. And the articles I was seeing were kind of pointing towards, Well, this
She's
is these.
A brick and I'm drowning.
Yeah, I mean they're pointing all at this Nyko portable docking kit.
Another bricked switch
in the wall.
We've had a switch since Christmas, and I still haven't picked it up.
Yeah, oh. I mean
she's a brick
mouse.
It's a bricked mouse. But no, what they're saying, you know, they kind of made it sound like okay. Third-party options, which you could probably buy at GameStop, actually, but they're saying that they were the problem with these Switches. It turns out this is actually Nintendo's fault. From everything I'm seeing, Nintendo doesn't use a standard voltage in their USB, is it USB-C, I think, on the Switch. They've got some different, like 15-volt or something. And so they're not following the voltage compliance standards with everything else out there.
Wait. I understand that. But when you're creating a third-party device to charge anything,
yep.
Don't you actually look at the specs and the required voltages and stuff, and you manufacture your unit to use those voltages? Not a standard,
no.
But what that unit actually needs.
You would think, but it sounds like it might be something that Nintendo is not being completely transparent about as far as what the actual requirements are. I've heard this 15 volts mark out there a few times, but it sounds like that's the problem, is that because it's not delivering either enough or it's delivering too much voltage, that's what's causing the issue with not charging and completely bricking the system. So hopefully Nintendo can, you know, get on top of this and figure out a way to fix this, because that's pretty garbage, really.
Well, it's probably nothing they have to fix. They just have to, like you said, they have to become transparent on what the actual spec is so they can create, you know, these third-party chargers, which I'm sure Nintendo doesn't want to do. They
right. Because theirs first is party. Like $85 yeah. or something.
It's like the Apple thing. It's like, you know, everybody says don't use the generic ones because it'll ruin your iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, why pay, you know... They don't want you to buy the $5 cable. They want you to buy the $39.99 cable.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think they've been doing this for years. I remember I couldn't find the wall wart for my Atari Jaguar, so I used a Nintendo one, and that blew up my Jaguar.
Oh, really?
Okay, well, for one, Tom, that's two different companies,
yeah.
Atari and Nintendo. Why would you think they're compatible?
Because it fits. If the plug fits in there, it should be compatible.
True. If the plug don't fit, you must quit.
We are all stupid. You should treat us as stupid and create stuff for stupid people.
You mean I can't put it on a cruise and go back and make a sandwich?
Yes, you can.
Go for it.
Now, you know what I'm talking about there. I don't want to dive deep into this like Dave likes to do, but this was a few years ago. It was Winnebago or one of those
RV
companies. Anyway, this guy crashed his RV because he actually put the cruise on and went back to get some food. And then he sued the company because nowhere in the documentation does it say you must remain behind the wheel when you activate cruise control.
Well, it was also a running gag joke in the Robin Williams RV movie he made, the comedy where someone was driving their big motorhome on vacation and they all were in the back eating, and all of a sudden they realized, wait, who's driving if we're all here?
I wonder if that was a play on that lawsuit.
I don't know.
So Jurassic World Evolution, a Jurassic Park dinosaur-based sim, is set to release. It looks like Ark.
Yep.
And that's going to come out in June on multiple platforms, and it looks kind of cool. So if you're a fan of games like Roller Coaster Tycoon, you can now construct and run your very own Jurassic Park. Of course, nothing ever goes smoothly.
No.
Dinosaurs and man, or whatever the quote was, et cetera, et cetera. I'm the guy from the show.
Yeah. I really hope there's one part where you see a T-Rex chasing you in your rearview mirror, and it says objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. I hope so, man. Or side mirror, I should say, not rear view.
Chris, I just hope you can see people getting eaten off of toilets.
Oh, yeah.
Pratt or Goldblum?
That new that new Jurassic Park movie, even though the premise is dumber than dumb, I think it actually looks pretty entertaining.
Could be, yeah. I still haven't seen the last one, so.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
It was okay. I mean,
that was the one with Pratt. It was okay.
Yeah, he's in this one, too.
They're going back to save the dinos from an erupting volcano.
I think Goldblum is supposed to be in the next one with Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Is what I've heard. Yeah.
Is Laura Dern going to be back?
No, I guess I don't know.
Okay, hold on. Speaking of Laura Dern, did you hear about... This is the funniest story, and I should have put it in here now that I just thought about Laura Dern, but, you know, she was in the latest Star Wars movie.
Yep.
And I guess the whole time she's firing lasers, she is going pew, pew, with her mouth.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear this?
No, yeah.
I did.
And it's they found it. It was so hard to actually find scenes of her shooting without her mouthing pew 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 pew. And it was something they were trying to get her not to do, but she kept doing it. So. Yep. Oh, I just thought it was hilarious when I
just googled
that.
Laura Dern pew. She even admits she did it.
That's where that's where the phrase "darn it" came from.
Oh, she actually. Yeah, they've got an animated GIF of her, and you can see her saying "pew" as she shoots the rifle. It's awesome. Well,
I love the animated Skippies better, though, man. I gotta say.
I could be wrong though, but I thought they said that in the movie, they ended up having to use a cut where she was making the noise herself. Like, they put their sound effects, but you see her mouth moving because they couldn't find a clean one where she wasn't doing it.
Pew, pew!
Well, they could have just photoshopped, Photoshop. They don't Photoshop movies, but they could have just edited it like Superman's mustache.
Here's the guy
mustache.
That doesn't know how movies are made.
This guy doesn't know anything. Okay, oh, what's you sounded like that? Was that football announcer?
John Madden. Here's a guy.
now here's a guy that doesn't know how movies are made. Hey, what time is it?
It's time for a kickoff.
Actually, man, I was wondering what time it was. I got a clock here.
What was that?
Yeah, I know how you feel.
That is crazy. Well, I decided since we were having Brother Tom on, and listeners, as you know, Adam is our musician here on the show. I've been a drummer myself for many years. You don't hear that on the show because I'm not going to set up a drum set for you, but Tom is also a musician.
Lazy.
Yeah, I am. And Tom is also a musician and huge fan of music, and so I decided for our Geek Off this week, I'm going to throw a question at you guys. And what I want to know, because it's all kind of one of those sweet spots for us as far as our ages and stuff, but I want to know, what was your, in your opinion, the best 90s rock album and why?
Oh, man.
So I'm talking not individual song. I'm talking about an album.
I'm going to go with Live Throwing Copper.
Yeah? Let's hear the why.
That was really good, but I think... probably I would go with Sublime.
Yeah, Sublime self-titled album?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did love that album a lot.
For me, it was one of the first forays into, you know, any of that kind of music. You know, as a kid growing up, because I was, 15? Yeah. I didn't listen to a ton of music up until then, but that was when, I started driving around with my brother and stuff, and he had that album, and we listened to all those songs, and it was just really cool.
Well, it is really cool because he sings unlike anybody else, and
yep.
I actually seen them when they were in Mountain Iron a few years back. They were pretty cool even then.
That's right, they were there.
Yeah. Well, he had a new band with him, but it was him there.
And Lightning Crash is a great song.
God, there's so many good ones. Jason, who was yours?
Wow, I... 90s. I'm trying to.
Tom went Sublime.
Don't say Snoop Dogg.
No, I'm trying to narrow down. Well, that's not rock anyway. I'm trying to just kind of.
There's a lot of good ones. Oh, Green Day's Dookie, Counting Crows.
I mean, you guys will laugh, but No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom was huge.
Oh, that's a great album. Yeah.
Well, see, I'm just allowing some of that stuff, like punk. I think of Green Day as punk, so I was not even classifying that.
Yeah.
Well,
Adam, did you just say Nirvana?
Straight rock.
I did not. Oh, but Nirvana, of course, is one of the big classics of the 90s.
Well, Nirvana's grunge, though. See, that's...
It's still 90s rock, though.
Well, I'm not thinking of that as rock, though.
So Pearl Jam 10 isn't rock?
Yeah. No, I mean, the rock. Foo Fighters had The Color and the Shape. That was a monster album.
You can call it alternative, grunge rock, however you want to call it. But I'd still classify it.
Pearl Jam 10's up there, too.
Yeah. What about... anyway. This is more pop, but Alanis had Jagged Little Pill. That's more pop,
some rock,
I guess.
Stuff in
but
there.
Some rock, Weezer, Bush.
Alanis' album was, everybody had that album.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Rage Against the Machine's Evil Empire.
Yeah, that was.
You didn't have to have it, Tom, because everyone else had it.
Yeah, you could hear it anywhere you went.
Well, I'm probably just going to go with Tom Waits' Bone Machine. I think I'm just going to go with that.
Rage was Captain Tennille.
I heard he had a good album.
Actually, Sonny Cher was way better.
Sonny Cher.
Sonny Cher.
I mean, me...
how about Bellevue DeVoe? I like that dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dave, what's yours?
I've got two of them that would be
Metallica. One, yes, go on to the next one.
The first one is going to be the Metallica's Black Album because that was such a huge monumental.
See, now
album.
That's what I'm thinking about by rock. Yes. That's why I wasn't thinking about these other.
I mean, that groups. Album stands a test of time, today still for me. But the second one is also a heavy metal album. But around that same time was when Megadeth's Countdown to Extinction came out. And I remember that album blew me away as a drummer because there are some insane drumming things that happen on that album. Just amazing drum intros and, great beats and everything else. And it was heavy yet melodic. That was another album I just really, really enjoyed. And I still will listen through at times now. So,
you know what? I'm going to go with, I think this one was out in the 90s. I'd have to look it up. But Nine Inch Nails, I love Nine Inch Nails, and Pretty Hate Machine. Was that a 90s
that was
album?
80s, I believe.
89.
Damn it. Yeah. So what was a 90s one? Probably like the Downward Spiral, maybe? I'm just going to go with Nine Inch Nails. I mean, I thought...
I'm going to go with Violent Femmes, but yeah, I think they got their stir in the 80s, too, with that
like
one.
Like a blither in the thun. How about Jane's Addiction? They were
Downward
great,
Spiral
too.
Is 94.
Okay.
99 is The Fragile. Further Down the Spiral by Nine Inch Nails is in 95. Broken
and Fixed.
Yep, 92. And Fixed was 92 also, yep.
And then it was Pretty Hate Machine.
I loved Pretty Hate Machine. That was my favorite Nine Inch Nails.
Well, I think that one he did all on his computer by himself.
Yeah, I just like his lyrics were just awesome.
Marilyn Manson had a. I was never a huge fan.
Was
but
that
had,
Beautiful People? The Beautiful People.
I think so. That Smells Like Children album.
Beautiful People. Come on, Adam. Give me some bass. No, some bass. Tom, play it.
He can't. He'll get sued by copyright.
Dave, get the drums going.
Yeah, I can't. They're not even in my house.
Yeah, I actually don't remember how to play that.
Yeah, there's some great music there. And I mean, I love a lot of 70s and 80s music and rock. I mean, I tend to be more of a rock
guy,
but I listen to a lot of stuff. But I love that song. It's got a great beat, Walk Like an Egyptian. Yep. When I go to find...
Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians?
Yeah. No, for me, though, when I go in, the 90s rock is still where I tend to find kind of my go-to place. I mean, I'll jump to the 70s and 80s rock, classic rock. I like that a lot as well. Listen to a ton of other stuff. But when I'm just not sure what I want to listen to, I always find myself back in 90s rock of some sort.
I go back to Pink Floyd when I'm like that.
What's the top Pink Floyd album for you?
Final Cut.
Which one was that? I forget.
That one was dedicated to his dad who died in the war, I believe.
Final Cut.
But I can't remember what year that was.
Looks like 83.
Okay, so it was after the wall.
Yeah, I'm very, I don't go deep with Pink Floyd. I'm like most people. There's a couple albums that are huge, for just the masses, and that is The Wall. I mean, I love The Wall.
I think you just like Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, Dark Side of the Moon was really good too.
He just liked the Sid Barrett one about the gnome.
I want to tell you a story about the little mon. If I con a gnome named Grimble,
worst writing ever.
Little gnome, stay in your home.
Nice.
Adam's like, what the heck is he singing?
Well, that's about it for me.
And that was the Gooda Geek Off.
cool listeners, let us know what if you're a fan of the 90s rock, let us know what some of your favorites are. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm not even going to plug Facebook too much right now. Just find us on Twitter. You'll have some better interaction probably.
And on Twitter, hashtag, I want to rock!
Yeah, I know that was 80s, but that would work. So if you guys were going to make some music on your own, what's your go-to software?
Are you talking about our listeners or us?
No, you guys. Like,
well, I don't make a whole lot. I make
Brother Tom
little...
and the co-hosts.
Yeah,
that's the new
co-host.
Band.
Well, I'm new to the whole software stuff, so I'm trying to figure out Reaper right now.
And Adam, you use that quite a bit too.
Yeah, Reaper is my main go. I actually paid for Reaper, and I really dove into how to use it for all kinds of different stuff, whether it's electronica stuff. A lot of the intros and little skit kind of music and songs, it's all done through Reaper.
Nice.
So,
well, I've tried a couple different ones. I've tried Audacity and then some other ones a couple years back. They came out with some, and this is the one I've actually got the farthest with on being able to do anything. So I'm kind of thinking of buying it too.
It's, for the $40 or $60, it's really worth it. I've done Cakewalk, some of those things. My dad still runs kind of his own little mini recording studio using like the professional versions of Cakewalk and stuff like that. And I've recorded and tracked through Pro Tools before as well, which is kind of the go-to industry standard for recording. Quality-wise, you're not going to lose on any of these DAWs. And by DAW, I mean Digital Audio Workstation, DAW.
Duh.
As long as you have the right hardware and equipment to set up, they can all pull in a nice, good quality audio signal and process it accordingly. You just have to know what you're doing in there.
Do you guys remember the store Best Buy?
Yeah,
I heard of that.
Worst Buy.
Back when I was living in Superior, which was almost 15 years ago or something
like was that. It that long ago? Dang, we're old.
I remember visiting you out there.
I bought one there. I don't remember if it was Cakewalk or the other one you mentioned, but both of them sounded familiar to me. But it was
Pro
Tools. It was like
it probably was Cakewalk because isn't Pro Tools really expensive?
Pro Tools is very expensive.
But this one that I got was
Cakewalk's not cheap either.
The one I got was like 140 or something like that.
Hmm.
But I couldn't do anything with it. I'm very stupid.
Well, you were running it on that Cirix processor with 1 megabyte of RAM. So.
I was running it on my Frogger watch.
There's a lot you can do for fairly inexpensive as far as getting good quality signal and everything in. Like I use a keyboard and then a $7 MIDI controller to send audio into my computer from a keyboard. And I don't mean like keyboard with, QWERTY. I mean an actual, I've got a Korg here that I use.
His Liberace's talking about.
Yeah, I think
you've got a Porg?
I think I...
Korg.
Oh.
Porg.
Korg. A Billy like, Korg?
What do those things do besides getting Chewbacca's way?
that's the thing that he cut open and climbed into.
Cat with a hairball.
That's a Tauntaun.
I think it's a Casio that I bought for $15 from some guy whose grandma told him to throw it away.
Nice.
Hey, Tom.
Well, if it's got MIDI ports on it, you could use it for MIDI. Now, Tom, have you ever used plugins with your Reaper Studio?
Actually,
that's a no.
I added some reverb just earlier today. When I was like just talking and just to try to use those. I tried to add a drum kit thing that I downloaded, but I don't know how to do that.
So yeah, that's where it gets really powerful is when you can start adding in plugins. I've bought a few of them. There's a great, really high quality pro level plugins by a company called Waves. I think that's Waves.
Huawei, they make those phones that the government says you should not be buying.
Yeah, it's Huawei. Huawei.
With these plugins you're talking about, is this basically virtual instruments that you could then go in and without actually playing an instrument, you can basically construct?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can actually using like it's called a piano roll on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually type in your notes.
Oh, like an old player piano in the old West.
Click it with your mouse, basically. Yeah, right. And you can use plugins can be used for anything from virtual instruments to sound effects. You know, like Tom mentioned, reverb. You can download all kinds of free. All the plugins are called VSTs.
Okay.
So if you look up free VST, it sounds like a sexually transmitted disease, but.
Well, this one
there's a lot of good ones.
The one I downloaded was a MT Power Drum Kit.
Oh, I've got that one. Yeah.
Except I haven't figured out how to get it loaded in, but it has the actual drums there, I think, doesn't it, that you click on to play the drums?
Yeah, like if you listen to the intro of our show, that's MT Power Drum Kit that I'm using. So like the intro that we play at the beginning.
Right. It is not me playing the drums for you.
No, it was actually good.
Oh, burn.
Super burn.
But yeah, there's a lot of different software out there, and if anyone's interested in having more conversation on that, you know, we're totally open to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't.
What you guys are using if you do audio.
Yeah, we didn't get to what I was using. Do we even care?
Well, for podcasts, you're using that special software.
Well, yeah, for editing my podcast, I use Hindenburg Journalist Pro. But, you know, I dabble with a little music. You know, I make a little comedy songs here and there. And I do all these, like, little intros and stuff. And most of it I use just Audacity. But I have used Apple's GarageBand because there's a lot of different things that you can do in there. You can add in drum beats and stuff, which I haven't done a whole lot of that. But they have a lot of voice altering type stuff built into it, and then you can download some plugins, probably some third party ones you could get at GameStop, and it does all kinds of different things, just like it sounds like what the Reaper does, and it's completely free. But you know, I'm the only one that's in the Apple world in this room, and by this room I mean our virtual studio.
Oh, I was gonna say you're the only one in your room.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool, cool.
Hey, Adam. So, well, when no one was looking, I was thinking of you. And yet, did I mention?
Were you all by yourself?
I was all by myself.
Yeah, didn't I mention? March is a bad month for movies, right?
Yeah.
Is it, though? Well,
traditionally.
Or was it, I should say? That was last month.
Hasn't yeah, like traditionally, the last 10 years been bad for movies?
I mean, what they're saying, when you look at this, March and April together are really those months where you typically find studios between their big winter movies around the holidays, and they're ramping up for the big summer blockbuster season. And so they just kind of dump all the other stuff out here in the middle spring months here, March, April, beginning of May. But when we look back a little bit over the history of things, I've got a list linked up here from the Ranker website. Some of the biggest movies of all time have all come out in March. We're talking things like The Godfather, Lethal Weapon, The Big Lebowski, 300, The Matrix, and Adam's favorite, Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Ready Splash. Player One.
Hunger Games.
Speaking of My Cousin Vinny, he's coming out this pretty soon here with the Karate Kid movie, the new Karate Kid.
Yeah, isn't that going to be on YouTube Red?
Yep.
The new Cobra Kai series.
Oh, that's going to be a series?
Yeah.
I thought so.
I think we talked about it on a few episodes back, and I can't remember which one.
Well, he doesn't listen, Dave. So.
No, I know, but I'm trying to remember when we talked about it. Was it a... Yeah, I think it's a series on YouTube Red. I don't think it's a movie. I think it's going to be an actual series, but I'm not remembering right now.
Ah!
Yeah, it's a web TV series.
All I know is it looked kind of lame.
I was excited for it, though. Now you're ruining that.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The original, one of the creators or co-creators of the original Karate Kid is also the, I'm reading wrong. I thought he had something to do with this series. Well. I don't do the words good. This is somebody else. This isn't Robert Kamen, so never mind.
Yeah, but I mean, traditionally March, they always say it's that dumping ground, but man, some looking at this list, some of my favorite movies are in here. You know, the Boondock Saints, Memento, Liar Liar by Jim Carrey was funny. I mean, it's still kind of cheesy, but it was funny. I mean, there's so many good flicks on here. This is Spinal Tap, March release, right next to Basic Instinct.
So who wrote this article saying that March is bad?
It's just kind of generally when it's looked at as kind of a dumping ground in the movie world, because and not so much lately, but it's always been looked at like this is the slow time of year for movies, and it's just kind of the really no other way to put it than a dumping ground where they just put out the junk that they didn't want to fit in their big, you know, busy summer blockbuster or holiday season. So I thought it was interesting.
March is Hollywood's junk drawer.
Basically.
But it turns out to find a lot of gems in that junk drawer by the looks of it.
Well, you can always find a quarter.
I mean, Hot Tub Time Machine is number 32. There's nothing better than that.
Hey, so how's April looking? That's my question.
Oof.
It's April now. What's coming up? We got the Infinity War.
Yeah,
that
little
here.
Film called, Infinity War. Yeah, it's probably nothing to go see.
Rampage?
Yeah.
Now, Tom, do you know
Super Troopers 2?
Hey, now, does Tom know anything about Rampage? Because he doesn't listen to the show and he...
Monkeys punching buildings?
Exactly. That's what it's based on, Tom. The Rock is in it, and you do have a giant monkey, a giant lizard, and what's the third one?
Giant flying wolf.
Is it a wolf? Yeah, it's a wolf,
yep.
Isn't it? And they are destroying the city, Tom. So
yep.
This is based on the video game.
That'll be worth watching.
Oh, well, yeah. I think it'll be funny. I mean, it's not going to be a Emmy winner, maybe.
Well, I'm maybe a fan a couple of Oscars. The Rock, too, so...
Right.
You're not a fan of Dwayne Johnson?
No, I am a fan of
him. Oh, okay. I was going to say, I like him.
There's a few movies coming out then.
Super Troopers 2?
Check out. Yep.
Still haven't seen Super Troopers 1.
What?
I know.
Oh,
I think I watched like the first 10 minutes and I'm like, all right, my brain is hurting and I turned it off.
Oh, I'm so highbrow, says Jason.
No. I'm not saying that because I did watch Idiocracy.
You know what's even worse? Great. What's even worse is if he's not saying he's too highbrow for it. He's saying his brain hurts. So it was, he had to
think
too hard.
Trying to figure out what they meant.
Yeah, he had to think too hard to follow Super Troopers. I mean, man, I don't know. But this movie coming out this month, too, it's supposed to be, it's getting excellent reviews I'm seeing on Twitter. It is Blockers. It's starring John Cena and
But what is that
Leslie
picture
Mann?
They always show on the... What's that picture? Well, it's a rooster? It's Rooster Blockers.
Rooster Blockers, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's basically parents
John
that are,
Cena!
parents rooster blocking their horny high school students and children. Huh. So,
hey, I want to talk about something that Bill and Ted 3 might actually have.
I did see that article this week.
Did you see the picture with Keanu and
they were looking out of a what do you call it? That we don't have them anymore.
Phone booths.
Yeah, there we go.
What is that thing with the phone in it and it looks like a booth?
No, that's not it.
it's a contract, but not really a contract.
Exactly.
Yeah, Tom, you need to listen
Alex
to the
Alex Winter
show.
And Keanu Reeves are... That's kind of cool. I'd be down with
but
seeing
no
that.
Rufus, though, unless they CGI him or something.
You never know. I think it might be time for a Gunna Geek.
Yeah, so as you guys know, we are proud members of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. And every week we like to try and let you guys know about one of the shows there. Over on the network, there's 25 plus shows, something like that right now. So a ton of different shows out there. But this week we're going to talk about a show called All Things Good and Nerdy. They've got episode 305 titled Hashtag Bring Back Suncast. Now, description on the show says the full crew is back this week, but we still believe the show should bring back Suncast. This week, Chris has the latest on No Man's Sky coming to Xbox One. Naki has the details on the big bad for Doctor Strange 2. Willie thinks there might be a new Rick and Morty episode airing this week. And Anthony details who finally took over the box office throne from Black Panther. So go check that out. You'll find it over at GunnaGeek.com. And catch that along with all sorts of other awesome geeky podcasts right there on the site.
Hey, Dave, can I make a comment here?
Sure.
About this episode you're talking about here. I need to talk to somebody here. So you guys, you can go do whatever you need to do because this is just between me and one other person.
Okay.
All right. Naki, I need to talk to you.
Uh-oh.
All right. You need to leave my boy Willie alone. All right? Now... Willie is right, and you are wrong all the time. No, I'm just kidding here. But if you guys listen to this, now, Willie's worse. Like, yeah, this guy's got my back, and Naki's like, mother.
Yeah, right.
But no, if you listen to this latest episode here, there's quite a bit of back and forth between these two.
Yeah,
you know what? It seems very legit. It does, but the day it was released, it kind of makes me wonder if it isn't. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Because there is this is the episode that came out on April Fool's Day. And so it's hard to tell. I mean, I'm really hoping it's just some sort of prank they've got going on because, this episode was really, Willie and Naki were going at it, like arguing. And it's a fun episode, and these guys do a nice job, but It was almost to the point where I was like, man, if this is a joke, they might have taken it a little too far. But I mean, hopefully,
one of
just
them
a
dies
big
at
prank.
The end. Yeah.
It's like a I mean,
it's crazy.
And it's not, what's that movie, John?
Cena?
John just dies John at dies at the end. Yeah. There's no one named John on that show, I don't think. So, but yeah, they go stream live every single Sunday. You can find them at geeks.live.
It is time for the weekly garnish. Nintendo Game Boy Classic Alarm Clock. Segway.
Yes.
Fans of the original Nintendo Game Boy can now get an awesome alarm clock for the bedroom. It's near a perfect replica of the original handheld system. It's got the Super Mario Land theme music as its alarm.
Does it... is the cool. alarm just the that little chime at the beginning whenever you powered it on? The ding!
Bling! No, it sounds like this is the actual like theme music from the Game Boy version, which would be kind of fun, but I wonder how much that would get annoying after a while. Beep, but... Boop, boop, boop. But I mean, really, what alarm clock doesn't get annoying?
The one that says, so the one that's, hello, big hunk of man, get up. It's time for you to get up, sexy.
I think you want the annoying one so you actually turn it off.
And it's in a man's voice, too. So
yeah, well, that wasn't supposed to be a man's voice. I just, you know, I
don't know why he sounds
you
like
were
a man.
My voice just isn't as high as yours, Adam.
Hey, big fella. Hey, man, meat. Big fella, time to roll out of bed.
You got a pretty mouth. Walk on over here and give me a big old wet one.
He can't quit you.
I'll tell you what, if my alarm clock sounded like that, I'd be out of that bed faster than you could blink an eye. Oh, no.
I'd hit snooze and say it again. Oh, Tom, any final thoughts here?
I have no thoughts.
No thoughts.
Wonderful. Because we are at about that time, folks. So yeah. I want to thank our special guest, Brother Tom, for joining us today. It probably won't be the last of them.
If he has his way, it will be.
I think this was pretty fun, actually, to be honest. We used to all hang out, and it's been a long time, so this is really great. So if you guys want to check out more of Digital Soup, you can go over to digitalsouppodcast.com, where you can find all the links to our social media, all of our articles, including other things that are more than just the show. We post other articles on there too. It's pretty awesome. Interact with us on Twitter. Hit subscribe, hit like, wherever you find us. Tell a friend about us, etc., etc. I am hawking Digital Soup Podcast right now.
Yes.
Write us a great review on iTunes. Write us a mediocre review. Leave out the bad ones. Those can just go away.
Where else can they find us now? Big.
Oh, we're also, we're at Walmart right now.
Eating those tasty Reese's peanut butter cup eggs.
Yep. Now you can find us on Spotify as well. So that's pretty cool.
That's an easy way for everybody to find us because everybody's got Spotify. Exactly. Even Brother Tom, who doesn't know technology, has Spotify.
Well, yeah, I haven't used it yet. You put it on here.
I love
backfire.
It.
Backfire.
No, it's the thing man. Is, if
I even
you look
put our
at
show
it,
on there
out.
For him and he still hasn't listened.
If you go check it out on Spotify, though, it's seriously very, very cool how it's laid out. Super easy to follow it and play and just really makes things slick on there. So go give a follow there and give it a listen. See what you think. Yeah. So
from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all of you listeners out there throughout the entire world, have a wonderful week. We will catch you next time.
That's right. Take care, guys.
Later, Gators.
We talk about something I know next time.
Pick your topics.
Like what?
Well, I'll do this off screen.
Oh, you're on screen right now? Dang it. We weren't.
You know what I mean.
What, like what type of things would you want to talk about?
Oh, I don't know. The music was okay. TV.
Well, we specifically didn't get into tech and stuff. We wanted to be more music and games and movies. You like movies.
I haven't watched many movies. I have kids.
Well, yeah, you've watched Ferdinand?
No, I haven't.
The Star?
Ferdinand.
Tom sounds like a guy.
I watched Game Over, man.
Crabby old man. Talking about something I know.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Next time we will have to get some topics.
Yeah, the last movie I watched was that Game Over Man.
I don't even know what that is.
That was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
What was so?
It was it's a Netflix release that just came out. It was,
what's his name? Adam Devine or something.
Yeah, it's the three guys from the Workaholics.
Oh yeah, I don't know what Workaholics is. Really.
Workaholics is a good show.
Full male nudity and
and they cut off some male nudity.
You know what you should watch, Tom? We're going to be doing this on a future super review, possibly this Friday, if we can get our acts together. Tusk. Yeah. Kevin Smith's Tusk.
Oh, yeah. I seen that on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our next review.
Check her out, man.
Is that a good one?
None of us have watched it yet. We're going
to
try to watch it.
It's got to be better than his German sausage one, right?
It's that the wasn't prequel. Him. Yeah, Yoga Hosers. That was him.
Oh, no. I thought he was talking about Sausage Party.
No,
oh,
no. That was that other dude, Seth Rogen. He's got a comedy special coming up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like a comic relief type thing Seth Rogen's doing called Hilarity for Charity.
If it rhymes, it's awesome.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's true.